Welcome to Simple Living Works. I'm Jerry Iverson. I'm pleased to be your host for Whose Birthday? Featuring audio selections from Simple Living Works' signature publication, the annual for individuals, families, and congregations. Whose birthday is it anyway? If you're new to this podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen clear to the end. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye at my cue. We have produced a real treasure trove of audio, video, and text resources for you, your family, and your congregation or group. We do not solicit or accept cash donations, nor do we sell anything. All of our resources and services are free of charge. We're an all-volunteer organization. We do promote alternative giving. See the link in the show notes to the guidelines for year-round alternative giving, as well as the classic Christmas versions. Basically, alternative giving means giving away at least 25% of what you spent last year on all celebrations, Christmas, birthdays, etc., to local, national, and international causes. Our mission is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. All three parts of our mission are especially wrapped up in our resources for Advent and Christmas, when consumerism is at its peak, when we need reminders both to be charitable instead of spending so much on ourselves, and to challenge the systems that make charity necessary, and to celebrate in simple ways that focus on relationships instead of stuff. Our site contains familiar titles such as Unplug the Christmas Machine Workshop, Carols with Justice, The Celebration Revolution of Alexander Scrooge, What Does Jesus Want for Christmas, and many more. Check out our extensive resource index. The link is given in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. This short series is completely different from the previous year's Whose Birthday series, which, by the way, are still available on our site if you missed it or would like to hear them again. Visit simplelivingworks.org, window number 3, click Preview, Backup. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. To learn more about us, listen to episodes 1 and 2. In this episode, I present part of an audio adaptation of the well-known Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? I hope you listen to the entire series, though each episode is self-contained. The series contains reflections and activities designed especially for the weeks of Advent and Christmas, including the Feast of the Epiphany. We'll have guest voices and writers featuring prominent preacher and national leader Lou Lotz, including author Meg Cox, and others. Links to the references in this episode are given in the show notes. I'll let you in on a little secret. All three episodes of the series are already produced and available at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3, in the Preview Backup Index. So, if you don't want to wait for each to be released in iTunes or Stitcher, visit the site and listen to all or some of the series. The topics of each episode are given there, too, so you'll know what each episode contains. The series comes from Whose Birthday Number 16, which is based on Liturgical Cycle C, the Gospel of Luke, the same as this Advent and Christmas season. Note, the calendar is the correct cycle, but off by one day, so you'll need to make a slight mental adjustment. Average holiday spending, $863. Average credit card balance, $7,500. Credit card debt in the U.S., $565 billion. Christ was born to set us free. Whose birthday is it, anyway? Hi, I'm Jerry Iverson, the National Coordinator of Alternatives for Simple Living. It's my pleasure to present our Advent Christmas resource for families and churches, Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? Ideas for a Christ-Centered Holiday. Just about everything that's in our booklet is on this CD. Some of the addresses and details given in the booklet are on the insert instead.
A couple of the items in the booklet are so visual that they have to be omitted or adapted here. A birthday gift for Jesus. When we celebrate a birthday, we are careful to give what that person really wants or needs. Is there any doubt what Jesus wants from us? He insists that in order to give to him, we must find him in the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, and the imprisoned. By helping to provide a goat for a farmer in Honduras, a decent home for a family in rural Mississippi, or food for those who are victims of war, we can give Jesus a birthday gift he really wants. Contact one or more of the organizations listed on Alternatives' website to get more information on how you can give money, time, and skills to those in need. Faces of the Children. How can we turn away from the faces of the children? Faces bearing hunger, faces bearing pain. Who will plant the dreams in the minds of the children? Who will be the love in the hearts of the children? Who will make a difference in the future of the earth? Tell me, is it you? Is it me? And when will we? Before reading the 7 biblical reflections, I'll make a few suggestions about using them. This resource offers individuals, families, and other small groups a way to remember the reason we celebrate this holy season. The reflections begin the first week of Advent and follow through the Feast of Epiphany. Before Advent begins, make an Advent wreath, find a book with instructions, or follow these simple directions. Take a large, shallow, flat bowl, at least 9 inches in diameter, and fill it with sand or coarse salt. Place 4 purple candles securely around the edge of the bowl. Place a large white candle in the center. Make a circle of evergreens and place them around the bowl. You will also need a manger scene, a Bible, and matches. Light 1 purple candle the first week of Advent, 2 the second week of Advent, etc. Light all 5 beginning on Christmas Eve. Set aside time each week to worship, perhaps after a meal on Sundays. Invite those who may be alone to join in your worship. Depending on the ages of those in your group, adults may want to listen to the biblical reflections beforehand. The worship items could be used several times. Incorporate the Advent Christmas calendar into worship time, especially as a discussion starter. Gather around the Advent wreath. Take turns lighting the candles, praying, singing, and sharing feelings and ideas. Yes to Jesus and joy, no to stress and stuff. A daily calendar for Advent and Christmas. This year, instead of stressing and fretting over stuff, we will focus on the joy of meeting the real needs of others and ourselves. We pledge to refuse to have our holy day subverted by advertising. As a family, we will investigate worthwhile causes and organizations to support with money we collect. We'll choose a percentage early in the season, from 25% to 100%. Then we'll give that amount every time we spend any money for Christmas, even if it's for food or decorations, in addition to the amount we normally give away. We'll decorate a can to hold the money and put it on display. $20 on a tree, then X dollars goes in the can. This money is not a penalty, but a way to help our need to help others. We'll donate the money on Epiphany, the day the Magi offered their gifts to Jesus. No later than November 1st, call a family meeting to talk about Christmas expectations. What do each of us really want? Who is going to do what? What is really most meaningful? Are we willing to spend less on ourselves and give more to the needy? Write down and post decisions and changes to consider. In advance, order a Christmas campaign kit from Alternatives. Then use Let's Talk About Christmas at the meeting. October 24th. Participate in Take Back Your Time Day. Visit timeday.org. Slow down. Changes require prayer thought, and time. Make time for what's most important. Thanksgiving Day in the U.S. Think thanks and giving, not television and gluttony. Then on Friday after Thanksgiving, participate in International Buy Nothing Day, on this the biggest shopping day of the year, by doing no shopping. Instead, by writing a letter to the editor promoting sustainability. Web address and telephone numbers are given on the CD insert. Advent Eve. Familiarize yourself with Alternative's Christmas campaign kit. Parts of it will be suggested for use throughout Advent. If you're using Alternative's Advent Christmas Journal, don't forget to enter your private thoughts or your ideas and memories for a legacy for your children and grandchildren. For another Advent Christmas calendar based on interesting, timely articles to read on the web, and for an Advent Christmas calendar based on giving options, visit Alternative's archives. The addresses are given on the CD insert. Rituals of Light by Meg Cox. The holidays at this time of the year have light as their central theme. Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and Advent all feature the daily lighting of candles. Winter solstice on December 21st is connected most directly of all to the pure celebration of light. Focusing on light, instead of presents and trees and cards and parties, what do you mean that the face of a child, or even a grown-up, lights up? That is a look that can never be faked. That face is not what you see when someone responds to a gift with a mechanical thank you. No, a face that lights up expresses pure, potent, spontaneous joy, the sort of joy this season is really about. But I feel like there should be even more light in our holiday season. Where is the light that comes from within and not outside? If Jesus is the light of the world, if light is the symbol of good and peace and justice and all the things that matter most, then could we maybe celebrate this time of year by finding a way to share our own light with the world? If what is best about each of us could be thought of as our personal light, maybe we should take a minute and think about what our gifts are and how and where we can shine them. I'm starting considering what to teach the kids in my Sunday school class in mid-December. We were going to follow the curriculum sitting in our classroom in the church basement, studying the, quote, meaning, close quotes, of Christmas. But I asked myself, what would it mean to let these children shine their light? What if the lesson weren't in the books, but out in the world? What if we three teachers arranged to take our small class of second, third, and fourth graders to visit a nursing home or rehab hospital, to pass out candy canes and let the children read their favorite Christmas stories aloud to the elderly or sick? I'm talking to some facilities near our church about this pre-Christmas visit. I can't wait to see the children light up some faces, including their own. I can also see applying this insight at home and creating a new family ritual. It occurs to me that an awful lot of New Year's resolutions are about quitting bad habits, which isn't the most positive way to start a new year. What if we all sat around the table and each of us lit a candle? We could vow to add in the coming year to the forces of light in the world and fight the forces of darkness. We could end with one or two specific promises of ways in which we'll shine our individual lights, use our specific talents to make a better world, not just a slimmer waistline. At this complicated time of year, let us revel in the simplest truths. Let us search for the light, all kinds of genuine light, and shine our own. Here is a family Advent ritual from Rachel Koppel, San Diego, making and sharing our own candles. At a craft shop, purchase flat sheets of beeswax in various colors to make rolled candles. This is so simple that even small children can make perfectly serviceable candles in an hour. I look forward each year to making candles for our own Advent wreath and to give to friends and relatives as a pre-Advent gift. This is a good beginning to the time of waiting and preparation. I feel a special spiritual connection when I light these candles, knowing that others are lighting candles I have made for them. Yes to Jesus and joy, no to stress and stuff. A daily calendar for the first week of Advent. On Sunday, meditate on the readings given on the insert. Share the reflection for this day. Sing some carols with justice. Discuss the best place to post the Whose Birthday bumper sticker. On a bumper, a bulletin board, a refrigerator, a front door. If you're using Alternative's Advent Christmas Journal, don't forget to enter your private thoughts or your ideas and memories for a legacy for your children and grandchildren. December 1st. Advent was originally a time of self-examination. Take a few moments to think about and write down three hopes you have for this Advent. Place your list along with the lists of other household members in a sealed envelope. December 2nd. If you plan to decorate a tree this season, consider purchasing a live root tree. Have a tree planting ceremony for the new year to give thanks for the blessings of the season. Ask a local nursery for planting tips. December 3rd. Attend a local alternatives fair, even if it's not at your church, to buy crafts and clothing from developing countries or to give money to worthwhile agencies in others' names. If your community does not have such a fair, consider helping to organize one next year. December 4th. Count each light you use to decorate this Christmas. Give 10 cents for each. December 5th. Vote with your dollars. Buy from locally owned businesses and locally grown food, even if it means bypassing items that are out of season. December 6th. Today is St. Nicholas Day. To learn more about the story of Bishop Nicholas, visit www.stnicholascenter.org. Gratitude cards. We don't need another gadget, a big coffee table book, or box of fancy food, but we love to hear from people we care about at the holidays and have them express their fondness for us. Let's send gratitude cards at Thanksgiving time to friends with whom we traditionally exchange Christmas gifts. It might say, "We're most grateful for your friendship, and we wanted to tell you that no presents are required to celebrate the holidays. Here are two ideas. Instead of your presents, give us your presents. Let's meet for lunch before or after the holidays. If you want to make a giving gesture that would mean a lot to us, here are two charities whose work we generously support." This also works for birthdays. A measure of maturity is that we realize we have all the things we really need, but we still want to feel rich and friends. Say, "What a treasure your friendship is in my life. Please don't send any gifts to me, but honor our friendship by giving to one of these charities, which will help another person on the planet." A reflection by Lou Lotz for the first week of Advent based on Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 32. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. When he finally held the child in his arms, he knew this long wait was over, and he exclaimed, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." Waiting is what Advent is all about. In Advent, we wait for the coming of Christ. But isn't our waiting somewhat phony? We pretend that Christ has not yet come. We sing, "Come, thou long-expected Jesus," and, "O come, Emmanuel," as though we are old Simeon waiting for the child to be born. But the child has already been born. The one we are waiting for is already here. So what are we waiting for? Maybe the best way to answer that question is to ask a related question. How are we waiting? Imagine three people, each of them waiting, but waiting in different ways. The first person is a vagrant sleeping on a park bench. He is not waiting for anything in particular, he is just waiting. The second person is a college student on Christmas break. She is at an airport gate, waiting to board a plane for home. She's excited about seeing her family. Her waiting is loaded with anticipation. The third person is an expectant mother, about to give birth. Like the college student, she is excited and filled with anticipation. But two things make her waiting altogether different. First, the person she is waiting for is already here. Her child may be hidden, but he is already present. Second, the mother's waiting contains an element of cooperation. The child wants to be born, but the mother must cooperate in the process, groaning, gasping, pushing. Some people spend Advent on a park bench, so to speak. They expect nothing to happen, and nothing does. Others are like the college student. For them, Advent is a time of excitement and anticipation. But the best kind of Advent waiting is that of the expectant mother, who brings to life someone who is already alive and delivers someone who is already present. Christ is already here, hidden perhaps, but within us and among us, his life moving in us like a fetus. Advent is a form of childbearing. We bring a living Lord to life in our own lives. But if Christ is to be born in us, we have to make it happen, groaning, gasping, pushing. The question to ask at the outset of Advent is not, "What are you waiting for?" The question is, "How are you waiting?" Let's talk about it. In what ways might your family cooperate in the process of bringing to life the Christ who is already present? Yes to Jesus and joy, no to stress and stuff. A daily calendar for the second week of Advent. On Sunday, meditate on the readings for the day given on the CD insert. Share the reflection for this day. Sing some carols with justice. In your Alternatives Advent Christmas Journal, enter your private thoughts or your ideas and memories as a legacy for your children and grandchildren. December 7th. Discuss the item, "Buy me nothing, I'll still love you," in the Christmas campaign kit. December 8th. Think about the gifts you plan to give this Christmas. Would you feel uncomfortable if Jesus was present during your gift sharing? December 9th. Step outside the mainstream media. It exists primarily to sell more stuff. Pledge to read, watch, or listen to at least one form of alternative media each week. Share a subscription to an alternative magazine, like Sojourners or The Other Side, with a friend or relative. December 10th. Let Christmas be a beginning to close the loop at home, work, school, and church. That is, buy products made of recycled materials. For help, use the National Green Pages or visit www.greenpages.org. December 11th. Make a list of the things you would like to receive. Include alternative gifts, such as the gift of someone's time or a donation to a hunger project. Give $1 for every luxury item on your list. Give $1 for every non-material gift you hope to receive. December 12th. Joy stands for J-O-Y. Jesus, others, and yourself. Joy happens when all three come together in a relationship. Others include people, animals, and the environment. Stuff can distract us from joy. December 13th. Be in touch with nature through eco-friendly hiking and gardening. Be awed by natural wonders large and small, like sunsets and compost worms. Gifts of the Magi is a Christmas wish-type program that provides assistance year-around within the 19 counties of the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. It began in 1993 as a cooperative project between Catholic Telegraph, Archdiocesan Council of St. Vincent de Paul, and Catholic Social Services of Southwest Ohio. Serving any resident of the Archdiocese, it provides assistance to strengthen their ability to care for themselves, enhance their stability and security, and improve their quality of life or their ability to contribute to the community. Applications may be submitted by any parish or service agency within the Archdiocese. A reflection by Lou Lotz for the second week of Advent, based on Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. When my son was a child, we would walk to the playground down the street and play on the slides, the swings, the seesaw. Once, while riding the seesaw, he threw back his head and laughed and said, "When I am up, you are down." When it comes to food and resources, all the world rides a seesaw. If one side is up, you can bet that the other side is down. If one side is living in luxury, you can be sure that poor Lazarus lies starving at the gate. In our world, the seesaw runs pretty much along north-south lines. With one or two exceptions, affluent countries lie in the northern hemisphere. The U.S., Canada, Europe, Great Britain, Japan. That's the upside of the seesaw. Poor countries are in the southern hemisphere. India, Africa, Southern Asia, Central America. That's the downside of the seesaw. The difference in lifestyle and consumption of resources from one side of the seesaw to the other is mind-boggling. Americans feed more grain to our livestock than the people of Bangladesh eat. We use more fertilizer on our golf courses than India uses for its entire agriculture. World hunger is not America's fault. But whether I intend it or not, my indulgence in luxury may deprive third world people of their necessity. It is not wrong to be affluent, but it is very wrong to see Lazarus lie starving at the gate and to do nothing to help him. Jesus never says that the rich man in the story exploited or abused Lazarus, or that he was in any way the cause of Lazarus's misery. Only that he failed to share of his abundance with someone who was so obviously, glaringly needy. Happy are those who consider the poor, says the psalmist. This Advent, consider the poor. Agree as a family to buy fewer presents for each other and then share the money saved with people on the low end of the seesaw. Volunteer your service at the local food pantry or soup kitchen. On a deeper, more serious level, explore ways to simplify your lifestyle all year round. You will discover, as so many others have, that you can get along on so much less. Your life will feel less cluttered, more relaxed. Who knows? A few folks might even follow your example. Most people won't, but don't let that bother you. You don't have to change the world. Just don't let the world change you. Let's talk about it. If your family wanted to give a gift to a local charity, which charity would you vote for? ¶¶ Gift-Giving Traditions. In all alternative gift-giving, the emphasis is on helping needy people and on building relationships, not on stuff. Here's an example of alternative giving from Nancy Matthews, Kitchener, Ontario, Canada. She says, I was delighted to hear a comment made by CBC's Metro Morning radio program host. When asked if he'd finished his Christmas shopping yet, he explained that he was making charitable donations instead of giving regular gifts to family and friends. We, too, have been giving alternative gifts for the past few years. We've adopted a polar bear for one family through the World Wildlife Fund, bought a piece of the Trans-Canada Trail for another, made a donation to Amnesty International for a brother and his wife who are keen volunteers, and even adopted an acre of rainforest for a niece who likes real estate. Some charities, though, are especially close to our heart. So we'll also be calling Habitat for Humanity, plus our local food bank, shelters, and soup kitchens to make donations in the name of our friends and relatives this Christmas. Then all of these agencies will send cards to the recipients telling them of our gift in their honor. It's so easy, and it feels so good. Of course, not everyone understands what we're doing or why, but overall, it's been a very freeing decision. It's wonderful not being part of the celebration of Christmas. We're not just exchanging things with others who already have an abundance of material goods. Instead, our money goes where it can have a real benefit. Giving like this also helps our family focus on what we're celebrating, Christ's birth. Mostly for Kids, a modest, fun treasure hunt gift exchange idea from Meg Cox. Celebrate the real spirit of Christmas by limiting the number of gifts each child receives to 3, the number Jesus received. But make a game of finding them. Put clues instead of presents under the tree, and have the whole family follow each person around as they solve clues and find their gifts. Likewise, giving a child just one large gift or a couple of smaller gifts for a birthday will be really fun by making it a treasure hunt. This also works for adults. A Christmas Haiku by 89-year-old Virginia Wright of Groveland, Massachusetts. A haiku is a 3-line poem of 5, 7, and 5 syllables. Give some of yourself, a favor or spend some time, visit or errand. A chore or phone call, a note with cartoons inside, thank those who serve you. Joke gifts and verses, home-baked or handcraft ones, no thought of the cost. Recycled paper, ribbons beautify, enhance, they show that you care. Bring light to darkness, hope through music and stories, spread love and respect. You've been listening to one part of the audio version of Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? The text for all these items are available through the links in the show notes. Go to simplelivingworks.org, click window number 3. You're welcome to contribute to the online version of Whose Birthday. It will be updated as new material arrives, so send ideas and items anytime. Prepare something now while it's really on your mind, such as art. Art that depicts the tension between faith and culture, especially at Christmas time. Personal experiences, especially intergenerational ones, related to simplifying Christmas or finding meaning and happiness in relationships instead of stuff. Family activities, rituals, or worshipful ceremonies for Advent, Christmas, or Epiphany. We reach many through our website, blogs, and other media. Sorry, we cannot pay for any submissions. To read the complete submission guidelines and past editions, use the link in the show notes. We get positive response to this podcast and our blogs. I'll present them in the future. In the meantime,
read them on the Simple Living Works website. The address is given in the show notes. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to simplelivingworks@yahoo.com or make comments on our Facebook page or on our Simple Living Works blog. All those addresses are given in the show notes as well. In addition to this podcast and its show notes, we blog each week on a variety of Simple Living subjects. Click on blog at the top of the show notes for each episode. We hope you'll read and subscribe. The Simple Living Works blog is the companion to this twice-a-month podcast. The content is different, though the subject is the same. And now our 250-some blog posts have a new index to help you find topics of interest. See the link in the show notes. Also, this past year, the blog has expanded to include many links to other Simple Living blogs. Many readers are offering all of us so much help. Much of the Who's Birthday series is also available in Spanish text. Please share it with your Spanish-speaking friends. See the link in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. As one of the early and long-standing supporters of alternatives, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, known as the ELCA, makes copies of each resource produced by alternatives available by request at a nominal cost. The archive staff can help with your reference inquiries, whether they are genealogical or historical. Feel free to contact them at the office near Chicago. The complete contact information is given in the show notes. By the way, after this short series, we'll return to our interview format. Well, time to wrap up this episode of Simple Living Works Podcast. If you're new to Simple Living Works Podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen a little longer. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye here. Peace. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will now through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Remember that you can listen to all episodes of Simple Living Works Podcast. They're archived twice. Access them at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Click Preview, Backup, and choose the episodes you want, with or without show notes. Subscriptions to this podcast and to our weekly blog are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Urge your friends to do the same. Remember to like us on Facebook. You can also subscribe in iTunes to my other podcast, The Common Good Podcast, which I produce and co-host with Jubilee One Earth Economics. Send us your email address to receive the free monthly Simple Living Works e-news. Thanks to the band Earth Mama and to John Pitney for the music on our show, and to Pete Iverson for the viola interludes. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share-Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, comprehensive lifestyle. It's not a list of rules nor living on the cheap. It avoids fads, convenience, and deprivation. It's so much more than a hobby. We believe in abundance, that there's enough for everyone's needs, not anybody's greed. We follow the saying, "Live simply, that others may simply live," as our closing theme song proclaims. Contemporary faith-based simple living is guided by the 5 life standards of living more with less, the classic by Doris Jansen Longacre, and I've discussed these standards in earlier episodes. We extend the mission and resources of the nonprofit organization Alternatives, which served from 1973 to 2011. The 3 parts of our mission are elaborated in text and video. Links are listed in the show notes. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works Podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly.
Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live.